thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
That's what we do.
Here's John Williams.
Every day. At least until 3 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock we stop thinking big thoughts. You talk to me at 3:05, I got nothing. I'm on Saturdays, too. I hope you join us then. Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. until 12 noon on social media. It's WGN King John. Don't miss the Mincing Rascals. We dropped a new podcast on you. We did that yesterday afternoon, the Mincing Rascals. Talked about a lot of things. I'm trying to remember now because the Mincing Rascals talk about news and events the way we all do, but I don't always remember if an event that I talked about was either on the Mincing Rascals or the radio show or both. But I noticed that the front page of the Chicago Sun-Times is a topic today that we addressed quite a bit, at least on this show and also on the Mincing Rascals, and that is, should they change the name of Congress to Ida B. Wells Street? Congress Parkway, it looks like, is going to be named Ida B. Wells. So, Violetta, you'll have to do Wells and Wells and be very clear if you're ever doing city roads about which one you're doing.
Yes.
Ida B. Wells deserves to be honored in this city. Ida B. Wells deserves to be honored in this city. And if it is true what a alderman's spokesperson told me off the air yesterday, that there are no downtown Chicago streets, which must, I guess, therefore exclude Martin Luther King Drive, but they told me that there are no downtown Chicago streets named after a woman, and there are no downtown Chicago streets named after a person of color. So Ida B. Wells, not because we're trying to get boxes checked here, but it is about time we started to broaden the base a little bit. And as even the Sun-Times said yesterday, and this was our funny all week, it's not like people are rallying around Congress these days anyway. If ever there was an easy name to change, it's like, Congress, who likes them? If we had a street named Nazis, you know, you'd want to change that. And they treat the word Congress as though it's something so toxic that, yeah, we got to get that out of there. And really, that was the point of it to begin with. That was the reason you were going to do it, but it wasn't Congress, it was Balbo. You're still going to have a Balbo. You're now going to have two Wells Streets in Chicago. So I guess you'll call one Ida B. Wells and one Wells. Not that we use city streets that often anyway, right, Violetta?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't come up that often. Our news click at WGNradio.com just before the break. I mentioned to Steve Bertrand has never been so one-sided. Elif, what was the news click from yesterday, please?
Apparently, President Trump likes the idea of allowing the Russians to interrogate some Americans in exchange for Russia's help in the Mueller investigation. A. I'd make that deal, got 1%. B. I wouldn't make that deal, got 99%.
99 to 1. And I actually think the 1 was rounded up. Bertrand and I usually get into a real friendly exchange about the relevance of some stories, and while it's easy to be caught up in some of the glitz and writs of Donald Trump's extracurricular extra life, I'm not always sure that these stories matter. So I'll just mention briefly today, to satisfy Steve Bertrand's urge, the idea that we'll cover the Michael Cohen story.
Well, I just think it's not an irrelevant story. Every time one of these happens, you're like, well, this doesn't really matter.
I do that a lot, don't I?
President sided with Putin overseas. That's not a big deal.
I didn't say that. But I'm not really sure. Is the only way that the Michael Cohen story matters, Michael Cohen connected to, not Stormy Daniels here, but that McDougal girl, woman, Karen McDougal, is that her name? Karen McDougal, the former Playboy model. The only reason that matters is if that was an illegal campaign contribution. Is that correct? Is that the only reion that would be...
Illegally matters?
Well, matters, period. I mean...
No,
you know.
I mean, it matters if you've got the President of the United States on tape talking about a payoff to a Playboy model,
not,
then politically that matters, but
I don't
legally,
think it does. I don't think that matters politically. Keep going.
Okay. Well, I mean,
it's not
like a damning thing, but it's not a legal thing.
Well,
but
it's not Jimmy Carter we're talking about. We're talking about Donald Trump here, and I just don't think that's going to matter.
Has he done this in the past?
Donald Trump?
So the other side, though, is that Michael Cohen met with Al Sharpton, apparently. I don't know if it was today or yesterday. And, you know, Sharpton's very critical of the president, but what's odd is that it seemed to be calculated that they would come out, each of them, and tweet about it. And Cohen, let me see if I can find the quote.
Al Sharpton?
Yeah. So Cohen came out and tweeted about meeting with Al Sharpton. Sharpton apparently tweeted about meeting with Michael Cohen. Let me see here. And Cohen's Trump said, well, now I don't have it in front of me. He said, you know, how great it was to talk to a guy like Al Sharpton, that he's the best guy to talk to when you need to talk to someone.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I can't imagine the topic in my life where I'd go, boy, I could sure use some
Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton right now to set me straight. Oh, boy. Well, I don't know what to do in this moment in my life. What would Al Sharpton do?
Here it is. He tweeted, there's no one better to talk to, ! Than Sharpton.
And Michael Cohen tweeted that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just Cohen trying to tell the White House, look, I'm not your baby anymore.
I guess not.
Exerting a little independence, maybe. And then not long after that came word that he had made this recording.
You know, the thing...
What if that's related?
Well, but that's weird. I wonder if attorneys regularly do that. Do they record the conversations they're having with their clients? So Donald Trump says, hey, listen, are we going to pay this McDougal lady or not? How much? Will it be a check? Will it be a cash payment? How do we do that? Donald Trump was saying we should do a check payment, not cash, whatever. But is that kind of a conversation normally recorded?
Probably not. I don't know. But there have been talk, you know, about Cohen making recordings and having them and the FBI seizing them. And so the reporting is today that this is one of the conversations they have.
So the way this matters then is if that money to silence her was, in essence, something to affect the campaign, and therefore it should be recorded as a campaign contribution. And that little angle on it, maybe that's going to be relevant in the grand scheme of things, but if nothing else, it's been fascinating to me. I did not know about the catch and kill practice this story happened.
And so if they're talking about that, that certainly would be damning for the National Enquirer and others. So, I mean, this could be relevant on a number of...
Well, this is the way the New York Times wrote about it today. The former model, Karen McDougal, says she began a nearly year-long affair with Mr. Trump in 2006, shortly after Mr. Trump's wife, Melania, gave birth to their son, Barron. Ms. McDougal sold her story to the National Enquirer for $150,000 during the final months of the presidential campaign, but the tabloid sat on the story, which kept it from becoming public. The practice, known as catch and kill, effectively silenced Miss McDougal for the remainder of the campaign. Legally, they put her in a box, and she couldn't say anything about it. If she had, would it have changed the outcome of the election? I doubt it, but I'm just fascinated that there's a newspaper or any sort of entity that would spend $150,000 to cover your tracks. I just didn't know that happened. I didn't know newspapers did that. I'm not sure I think they should. And by the way, Steve, here's just one other story that you and I won't agree on. This is from the USA Today, Today. Overall, 55% of people surveyed were unhappy with Donald Trump's performance at the Helsinki summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. 55% of us were unhappy. Now, 55% right. Of us. Most of the displeasure with Trump's showing in Helsinki, the USA Today writes, was related to that joint press conference. While 83% of Democrats disapprove of Trump's handling of the summit, 68% of Republicans approved of the president's showing at that press conference. 7 out of 10 Republicans in this survey said they think Donald Trump did a good job in Helsinki. That is not true. I don't believe that for 2 seconds.
You don't believe that 78% of them think so? Or was it
70%? 68%?
Yeah.
I do not believe they think that.
Well, the only thing I'll say about that is if you know, and we've talked about this, go back and look at other polls about presidents, I don't care what it is. And if you look at how he polls in his own party, it's almost always way beyond 70%. So the fact that it's at 68, you know, is probably worse than average when it comes to polling about a president in your own party. Having said that, it still seems like a pretty high number.
Yeah, I think this is what happens whenever they say, do you think Barack Obama's a Muslim or that he's not a U.S. citizen or some crazy stuff? And I think some people give the answer that they don't give their real answer. They just give the answer that they want to give to either throw the pollster off or to sort of express their unhappiness with something. So if I don't like how Donald Trump is being treated, I'm going to I don't care what this stupid survey says. Do I think he did a great job in Helsinki? Of course he didn't. But you're asking me, I'll say yeah, just because that's one way I can vote for Donald Trump.
I think if you talk to a pollster, they'll tell you they probably try to figure that out and factor it all in.
I get up every day on the planet Earth, and 70% of the Republicans on my planet do not support the job Donald Trump did in Helsinki.
I have another idea that, and I haven't seen anything on this, maybe you have. You know, we keep hearing about more and more people saying that they no longer identify with the Republicans. You know, they're not in the party anymore.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that has an influence too. So when they're doing these polls, people who 2 years ago might have said they're Republican now say they aren't. So they're not in that pool of Republican voters.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the people who stayed, who are very loyal to Donald Trump, then that would inflate the numbers for Trump. Does that make sense?
I think so. And I will tell you this, Steve. A long time ago, I quit equating support of Donald Trump to Republicanism, right?
And that's why I think the Republicans are going to do better in November than a lot of people think.
Yeah, maybe so. But then they better start standing up. This has been my little speech lately. Then they better start standing up to the president, because the stink will stick to them if they don't start to make that distinction that I've been affording them. Listen to this. This is what Texas Republican Will Hurd said today. Did you read what he wrote? Will Hurd is a Republican in a swing county, but he's in Texas. This is a Republican Texas member of the House. And he wrote today, the president's failure to defend the United States intelligence community's unanimous conclusions of Russian meddling in the 2016 election and condemn Russian covert counter-influence campaigns and his standing idle on the world stage while a Russian dictator spouted lies confused many, but should concern all Americans. By playing into Vladimir Putin's hands, the leader of the free world actively participated in a Russian disinformation campaign that legitimized Russian denial and weakened the credibility of the United States to both our friends and foes abroad. And this isn't just some guy who's doing anything to get reelected. Remember, he's a Republican from Texas. But he was also a CIA operative from 2002 to 2009. He's been in Congress since 2014. So it's not a random House member, said CNN, spouting off to get some attention and distance himself from Trump.
Well, I think you saw Peter Roskam do that earlier this week. He was on with Cochran and others. You know, he has not been one to take on Donald Trump, but he certainly did this week. And he's in a very tough re-election fight.
Yeah. And again, Hurd is in a swing district. In fact, he's in a district that Hillary Clinton won by 4 points in 2016. And Democrats are going after him. So he's trying to moderate his view. Fair enough. Writes Hurd, over the course of my career as an undercover officer in the CIA, I saw Russian intelligence manipulate many people. I never thought I would see the day when an American president would be one of them. All right, that's what that story is today. Emmett Till's cousin joins us after 1:30. That story's in the news for a number of reasons. The U.S. looks like they're going to look more seriously, or once again, at the death of Emmett Till. You've probably been following that story a little bit. We'll catch you up on that after 1:30. By the way, the reason that I was only slightly late for this break, the commercial ended and then I had to read, was a friend of mine was in the studio and we were visiting. And I'm turning your microphone on right now, friend of mine. His name is Craig and he is one of the producers of WCCO Radio in Minneapolis. How are you, my friend?
John, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
So you produce at WCCO, where I used to work. You're in town. Why?
I'm here to see Hamilton tonight.
He's going to Hamilton!
And Steve Bertrand already told me how it ends, so he's ruined the spoiler for me.
What a jerk.
Didn't tell you how it ends, I just said he dies.
Aw, come on.
Well,
come
on,
Steve. That's kind of big, Steve.
So, I'm doing that tonight, and then I'm going to see the Cubs tomorrow, weather permitting.
Yeah.
Because right now they decided to rain all weekend here in Chicago.
Don't you hate that?
Great timing on my part.
By the way, Kevin, it's a twin bill tomorrow, right? Cubs play twice tomorrow. Actually, Kevin's doing something else, but it's a twin bill tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're going to the first game.
I'm going to the first game. Figure they'll do everything they can to get that game in, and then we'll see what happens with the later
game.
Right,
so they'll wait and wait and wait and wait, get game one in. So that might not be in the afternoon. It might be in the early evening, but at least you'll be in for one.
Yeah, I just checked the weather forecast. Looks like a 50% chance of showers on about 1 o'clock tomorrow. So.
Well, okay. That's 50% chance it won't rain.
Glasses
that's what I'm hoping for.
We look on the bright side here, my friend.
I'm with you on that.
And the weather's been beautiful all up until today.
It was very nice yesterday. I walked around last night. Very nice.
Yeah, did you go for a walk downtown?
I did. I went to Lou Marinelli's for pizza.
Nice!
I got there eventually. I got turned around a couple times.
That'll happen.
But
what was your thought of our deep dish pizza?
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, some people look at it and they go, what? What? But I think Lou's is pretty good.
It's right by Motel, so I figured, why not check it out? And I was very pleased. Service was terrific.
You like Chicago. It looks good, doesn't it?
I do.
You're staying downtown. It's a beautiful city, isn't it?
Oh, it's a beautiful, fantastic city.
What do you make of our fancy new digs up here on the 18th floor?
I like this a lot. It makes my station feel like we're back in the late 80s, early 90s.
You guys are.
That's true.
I hope I can kid. You and I work for some great people.
Yes.
And it's still a great station, WCCO in Minneapolis.
Station.
It's good to see you. From now, we give you our rundown of fun things to do in the weekend in Chicago. To remind us that this new thing, if one lost, will you let the waste inside? One of the things we'll be talking about is Pitchfork. Pitchfork is this weekend. I hope the weather works for y'all, although I'm not sure y'all care that much if you're going to Pitchfork anyway. Anyway, this is Nilufer Yanya. She'll be playing on Saturday. Fan of Nilufer Yanya?
I am now. She's
That's
Turkish.
Pretty good. Is she Turkish, really?
Yeah. It's making me kind of sad.
It is kind of downbeat, but I think it's lovely. I thought that was nice.
She has such a cool voice.
All right, Pitchfork this weekend. We'll give you a rundown of fun things we do or think that you might enjoy doing. We always do that just before the Bright Side, so make sure you listen to that at 2:40 this afternoon. It's 1:38 on WGN. I'm John Williams. This from the New York Times. The federal government has quietly revived its investigation into the murder of Emmett Till, the 14-year-old African-American boy whose abduction and killing remains almost 63 years later among the starkest and most searing examples of racial violence in the South. They said based upon the discovery of new information, they're looking more closely at what happened to Emmett Till. A central witness, Carolyn Bryant Donham, recanted parts of her account of what transpired in August of 1955. Two men confessed to killing Emmett only after they had been acquitted by an all-white jury in Mississippi, but they are now dead. You know the story. The woman said that Emmett said something to her. Maybe he touched her. Her story changed depending on when and where she was telling it, but then later on, these white guys showed up and they killed poor Emmett Till. They were found not guilty after a very brief jury deliberation, and then afterwards said, yeah, we did it, but double jeopardy is such that you can't now throw them back in jail. Miss Donham's description of the events leading to the attack repeatedly shifted. One account had the boy only insulting her verbally. In court, without jurors present, she claimed that Emma had made physical contact, that he used crude sexual language. She later told the FBI that Emmett had touched her hand. When she spoke to the researcher, Timothy B. Tyson, in 2008, though, she acknowledged that it was not true that Emmett had grabbed her or made vulgar remarks. Tyson published a book about the case last year, and it appears as though it's some of that that the Justice Department is now looking more closely at Emmett Till's case. The case is a renewed and prominent test for the Justice Department, charged with investigating long-ago murders that are thought to have been racially motivated. The way Emmett Till's body was found is startling, too. And remember, it was an open casket. His mother said, I want people to see what I saw. And that was a turning point. Maybe not for the country, one singular pivot, but it was prominent when we look at what happened and what happened going forward. Emmett's cousin is Deborah Watts, and she joins us on WGN Radio. Hi, Deborah. It's John Williams. You're on in Chicago. How are you?
Hi, John. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
Is that a fair description, if only 60 seconds long, of the Emmett Till story?
It is. I think one of the key moments also that you might want to mention is that the courage of a Chicagoan, Mamie Till Mobley, his mother, to have an open casket funeral, sharing with the world what Emmett's body looked like. And I think you mentioned, you know, that was a pivotal moment in our history. But it's also connected with a lot of things that are happening today, John, unfortunately. And so we, again, have to still continue with this fight for justice and also try to hold those accountable for contributing, you know, to the deaths of many of our loved ones.
What's the best case scenario for this sort of, you told me off the air they're not reopening the case. The case has never been closed. But what's the best case scenario for the renewed interest by the Justice Department in this case?
Well, you know, Carolyn Bryant Donham is still alive, and she also penned a manuscript, I guess, of her memoirs that was done by Timothy Tyson. And, you know, it's called Wolf Whistle. I think a real close look at what's inside of that manuscript is necessary. I think that also Carolyn Bryant needs to come forward. I think the truth needs to be told. I think this, you know, as you mentioned, you know, just the changing of times and the stories, not necessarily, I don't think, from memory loss, but I think from just, you know, just the encouragement and probably the lack of justice ever being brought on a white woman against an African-American male. And so I think the country has not stood up strong enough in that manner, and I think we need to stand up at this time, and Carolyn needs to answer, you
right.
know, to the charges
and
of murder.
She's still alive. So
and her involvement regarding Emmett Till.
Yeah, so she's still alive, and so she's essentially said that what she said, which led to Emmett's murder, is not true. Why, I wonder why she said that then.
You know, that's you know, a lot of folks have speculated over the years of why she did that. All that I really pay attention to is what the results of it was. And Emmett at 14, very young, very vibrant, future ahead of him, is known longer alive. He was brutally murdered. The two murderers, Roy Bryant and J.W. Milam, for whatever reason, and they did sell their story to Look magazine for $4,000 and created a story around why, and that was tied to voting, you know, for African Americans. It was tied to education for, you know, desegregating school. They were totally against that. And then also relationships that individuals could have with each other, just not, you know, in supportive of any sort of black, white, or whatever, yeah. you know, mixture, if you will, of relationships. And so, you know, they were very clear in that Look magazine why they did it.
It's galling, isn't it? I mean, think about that. So they're mm-hmm. found not guilty, you know, by an all-white jury. They deliberated yeah. for a little over an hour and took a soda break in the middle of that. So it was kind of a foregone conclusion what's going to happen here. They get away
exactly.
with it.
Exactly.
And then they sell,
you know,
they sell it to Look magazine, and Look publishes that. They paid the money for that. That whole thing is offensive that way.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, it speaks to the culture. It speaks to the time. It speaks to, when we think about what's happening today, it speaks to some of the, you know, the nuanced way of, you know, that we're still dealing with, and in a direct way as well, with those same three major issues that they said why they had to beat Emmett, why they had to kill him, why they had to have him stand down. He was standing up for himself. And, you know, the country still has, you know, African Americans and other people in the oppressed state still trying to stand up for freedom, you know, and justice. And so there's a lot of links from the past to the present and future. And I think we need to really pay attention to what happened with Emmett, because there is a reflection on what's happening today. We're not, you know, that was just 63 years ago, not very long. And the Emmett Till generation still remembers vividly what happened. They remember, you know, Emmett's pictures that appeared in Jet magazine. They remembered, you know, the story. They remember Mamie speaking out. She's been recorded, and her, you know, plight and plea for justice is very well known, was captured, I know, in most of the African-American newspapers and other journalists who covered her. And I think it also found itself in contemporary media as well. So, you know, her journey, you know, was a 47 years. She lived and fought for 47 years for justice, unfortunately dying in 2003. Within 2004, the case was revisited because it was a cold case. It was brought to a grand jury. Emmett's body, because of needing to personally identify him, because, you know, it was a murder case, but they, you know, the defense claimed that that was not Emmett. So they had to make a positive identification. And in 2005, they exhumed his body, and the case was brought to a grand jury. In 2007, they decided no charges should be rendered against anyone for the death of Emmett Till.
Well, so, but the men who killed him had since passed away themselves, right?
They had. Yeah, they had. But Carolyn Bryant was still alive.
Well,
I
want to ask you about, if I may.
And along with Henry Lee Loggins, with investigation and reports and a movie that was done by Keith Beauchamp, he identifies him and others that were alive at that time. It could be brought to justice.
Deborah Watts is on the line. She's the cousin of Emmett Till and the co-founder of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. I want to ask you just another couple questions about the foundation, but I wanted to clear up this thing about Carolyn Bryant Donham, the woman who essentially lied and led to Emmett's death. She's still alive, and she had said that, okay, that didn't happen. Do you want charges brought against her, and is that a possibility?
I don't want to say anything that would impede the progress or the process of, you know, of what the authorities are doing. But in my mind, yes, charges should be brought against her. I think that there's enough evidence that indicates her involvement, her presence at the time of identifying Emmett the night that he was kidnapped. I think the truth, you know, as I said, should be told. I think the records need to be straightened as well as it relates to movies and other documents that indicate, you know, that capture her story or her lie. I think Emmett's name needs to be cleared because there are many that, you know, said, well, he knew he should have known better and he, you know, he was the cause of his death, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think they need to know that Emmett only whistled. He only whistled at Carolyn Bryant and didn't do the other things that she claimed that he did. I think also that any other folks that are involved, you know, should be prosecuted. I think they should be.
Yeah.
Investigation should take a vigorous approach. You know, it's 63 years. Carolyn is elderly, and most of the others are elderly. So they need to do it quickly, and I think we need to bring closure to it. And I really, truly hope that justice will prevail. That's justice for me and many of the next of kin that I've spoken to in my family as well.
The boy was visiting family in Money, Mississippi, from Chicago. He walks into the store owned by her and her then husband, and the whistle led to his death. What are you all doing these days? Did you not tell me the other day off the air that you guys do scholarships, that your organization is involved in things other than just Emmett Till per se?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, you know, Emmett's mother, if you recall, Emmett's mother, you know, took to the ground running, if you will, for justice for Emmett. But not only that, she started something called the Emmett Till Players. She actually did form, along with her mother, the Emmett Till Foundation. And so they started pouring their hearts and their minds into young people. And we're trying to carry that forward as well. We're creating this legacy of hope. We're trying to build a bridge from the past to the present and future, bringing awareness to Emmett's place in history and his relevance today. Yes, we're offering scholarships. We do programming, curriculum that helps to educate and equip not only our youth, but adults as well, and inspire and empower them to achieve the fullest potential in their lives, something that Emmett did not have a chance to do. We recognize him on his birth date. We recognize him also on the date that he was murdered by asking the country to wear black and white. His birthday is coming up, John, on the 25th of July. So we'd love to have your listeners join us all across the country, if you will, with helping us to remember Emmett. And say his name, and also the others that have died because of violence and hatred in our country. And then, you know, just take a photo of yourself with your wearing your black and white and post it to Facebook and tag us and just, you know, join in on this silent yet powerful protest. Also, we're asking people to take a moment of silence at 12 noon and just remember Emmett, say his name, and all the others that they want to remember and that have lost their lives as well.
It's 2 weeks from tomorrow, so I'll revisit this topic then. I sure appreciate your time, and good luck to you all on all that you're doing over there, Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And one thing I do want to say, John, is that, you know, we are actively allowing ourselves and accepting invitations all across the country, colleges, universities, churches, private homes, to share Emmett's story and that of, we call it the power of history, turning tragedy into triumph. Because many others, like myself and others, who've been inspired by Mamie's courage and what happened to Emmett to do something very positive. And so we want to encourage, you know, those audiences that are before us, answer their questions, but then also encourage them to be their best selves and move forward in their lives and contribute positively.
What a good idea. Deborah, in fact, stay on the line. I'm going to ask you to talk to my producer and just answer a question for us off the air, and then we'll visit again. Deborah Watts, cousin of Emmett Till. She's the co-founder of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. Thomas Jefferson wanted to say something on the show today, and we'll let him after the news. Also in the next hour, our Bright Side of Life segment and our suggestions for fun things to do this weekend. I'll also mention, I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to talk to Dan Weider or not, but he wrote in the Chicago Tribune Online today a 19-page story. 25 years after James Jordan, Michael Jordan's father, dies, the Tribune is revisiting that story. And it goes on and on. And there's a part where it says, so many odd circumstances surrounded Jordan's death. And it talks about Michael Jordan's father's passing, the circumstances under which it all took place, and then some of the curiosities about all of that, too. 19 pages online. It's online right now. And I don't know if this is something they're going to run on Sunday in print. It's going to take some space if they do, but it looks like a Sunday story. But 25 years afterwards, the James Jordan's murder story online at the Chicago Tribune right now.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Not just big thoughts, but happy ones, too. In this hour, our Bright Side of Life segment will come your way in about 30 minutes. We'll ask you to tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling, and we will smile with you. It's sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. Thank you, JRI. On social media, WGN King John. That's where you will find me and the Mincing Rascals podcast, which we post, and our news click. We do a daily web poll question. We ask you about something in the news. Yesterday, we asked you if you like Donald Trump's idea of trading people in the United States for some help with the Russians on the Mueller investigation. That's a terrible description of it. Literally, we wrote, apparently Trump likes the idea of allowing the Russians to interrogate some Americans in exchange for Russia's help in the Mueller investigation. We asked if you'd make that deal or not. 99% of you said no. Today we ask, should Chicago rename Congress Parkway for civil rights pioneer Ida B. Wells? Yes or no? Boy, I've been all over the map on this one. Should we rename? Okay, here's my answer. Yes.
Really?
I know.
What's wrong with you?
Well, here's my thought about that. Independent of the way it happened, right? Because this was supposed to fix Balbo. We didn't fix Balbo. There's nothing wrong with Congress. I mean, it's fine. I know it's named after Congress. Nobody likes Congress, whatever. But the people weren't clamoring, oh, we've got to change the name of Congress Parkway. I'm offended. That didn't happen. But in the meantime, Ida B. Wells maybe doesn't get the recognition that she should in this city. So if you said, hey, John, we're going to name a street after Ida B. Wells, like if it was a brand new street, I'd say fine. What a good idea.
A lot of brand new streets aren't going up.
No, this isn't. Okay, I've changed my mind. I'm now going to say, no, we should not honor Ida B. Wells. Whatever it takes.
Well, it's not about honoring. It's just about changing.
I know.
That's the dilemma,
it's
right?
It's cumbersome. We'll now have two Wells, blah, blah, blah.
But, I mean, how many times are we going to keep changing streets?
Forever. In infinity. But
how do you choose who we change them to? I mean,
hey, vote with your mouse, lady. If you don't like my answer, use your own. My question is, should we change the name of Congress to Ida B. Wells? I'm voting yes.
What, you just said no.
I'm voting yes. Final answer. You're going to vote how?
No.
Elif, how are you going to vote on the news click? Yes or no? Should we change Congress to Ida B. Wells?
Why not?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying no to the answer, to answering the question, not to the answer.
Very good. Very good. Bertrand, go.
Yeah, you know, like Elif said.
It's a yes or no question. It's a yes or no question, kids.
Mine's still no, actually.
Up or down? That's a down. I'm an up. Elif is an up. Bertrand is
an up.
He's an. He doesn't sound very.
Just
up.
So we can stop. You know, it's like it's just.
I'll break the tie. Say no.
That tied it, I think, didn't it? No, 3-2.
Steve just wants the conversation to go away. That's his point.
Well, it's just like you've talked about. It's such a backhanded way to get into something. It's so typically. Politics.
It's so weak-kneed.
Identifiable, so, you know. And so it's just like, just make it end.
And Rahm's 100% behind it.
Well, who can be against it? I mean, if you're a politician.
And you're running.
And you're running, it's hard to be against it.
No, but
so,
if this was genuine, if we really wanted to honor Ida B. Wells, somebody would have said, I don't care what the name of the street is, we're changing it to Ida B. Wells. But that's not what happened. What happened is they didn't like Balbo. It's so bizarre that that's right. Why she's getting the honor.
It's a chicken or egg thing, right? Who came first, Balbo or Wells? It was the opposition to Balbo that came, and then they said, well, we could use Ida B. Wells.
There is a monument going up to her in Bronzeville as well.
But, so which that's is great, because she's, you know, she definitely deserves the accolades. I'm not saying that.
It's part of our history that we just don't know well enough. I mean, really, that's one of the reasons I was interested in that Emmett Till story. We just talked to his cousin, the young boy, 14 years old, killed in Mississippi years ago. But that's a Chicago story, and I think we need to remind ourselves of our history in a number of ways, good and bad.
We had a texter come in with, why not change 95th Street, which you could change all the numbers.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be offended.
Okay, but here's what I don't like about that. I don't want to, you know, yuck your yum, but there you are driving along. It's 87th, it's 91st, and then there's a name, and you go, wait a minute, where am I? What is that? Like, I like the numbered streets. I know where they are. Or the alphabet streets. I know where you are. You can tell where you are. Even the presidential streets downtown, at least you can... If you know presidential history, you know in what order the presidents are coming.
Or even the Great Lakes.
Yes, but are they, so we have Huron.
They
have
go
Erie.
Clockwise.
And I'm trying to figure out if there's any logic to the order of the lake streets.
No,
downtown.
But you know you're close. You know you're like, okay.
Okay, if you're in the lake district.
I got two more lakes.
Yeah, right, right. The number 17 is in the news twice today. That tornado that hit Iowa injured 17 and damaged buildings. And that tourist boat in Branson has now, they say, killed 17. The death toll in Branson is 17. I don't know if you've ever been on one of those duck boats. I have not. I presume they're like the ones in the Dells, but they have these land and water duck boats that you can take tours on. And I guess they're pretty close to the surface of the water. That is, if it's choppy seas, it can go over the edge there. They were designed, according to a story on CBSNews.com, originally for military purposes, to transport troops and supplies during World War II. They were later modified for use as sightseeing vehicles. The president of the company said that boat should not have been in that water. But it sounds like they were out on that lake. And then this storm picked up very quickly, winds of 65 miles an hour strike. And you've probably seen the video of this thing as it's listing left and right. And ultimately it capsizes and 17 people killed and 7 was the last count I saw injured. That's just incredible to me. Have any of you guys been on that? If you've been to the duck boat ride?
I've been on one in Dublin.
Really?
And the Dells, maybe, too, years ago.
Yeah, I went to the one in the Dells.
I'm rethinking those things right now. I mean, the way storms blow up these days, I don't want to invent a problem here, but are those? It sounds like those things are inherently dangerous. There have been other incidents in the past. Five college students were killed in 2015 in Seattle when one collided with a bus that would be on the road. 13 people died in 1999 when one of these things sank in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Whenever we go by, I thought that looked like fun, though. You'd see, take the duck boat tours at the Dells. Never done that. Never done
it's
that.
It's right next to the mini golf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man alive. Strange story. And you think if you were in that situation, I wonder if the people could have jumped out of the boat and swam to safety. They weren't out in the ocean. They were in a lake. And the water was crazy choppy. I mean, you know, it looked like an ocean storm. 60-mile-an-hour winds. You know how it is on a lake sometimes. When something blows up, it can get really violent. But I was thinking, if I was on that boat, I'm like, I'm getting out of this boat. I am not staying in this boat. I don't know if they had life preservers for everybody on the boat, too. Did you guys see that? I didn't. But you'd think that that had to be a requirement that they
yeah,
had.
Yeah, the governor said they were on the boat today, but it wasn't clear where they were or how accessible they were.
Yeah, I've been on those kind of dinghies when you're on a cruise ship and you go from the ship to shore. And they always say, life preserver's underneath your seat. You don't know where it is. You can't find it. You know, it's sort of like if there was a plane crash, would I really be able to find my... Would I be able to effectively use my seat cushion as a flotation device, or is there something else here? I think they're there, but I don't think we would be very good at it. The president tweeted about it today and said what a tragedy it is, and I guess there's not much else you can do about that. But those things looked, you know, a boat that to me is lying that low in the water, that just looks like a bad idea.
Our video executive producer is standing behind me, Mike Poe.
Yeah.
He was just on one last week at the Dells.
Oh, no kidding. And what does he say? Come in here, Mike. Say hello to us on the radio. It's 2:18.
It was a pretty calm day. So.
Yeah, right, right. So, I mean, really, that's it. If it's a calm day, there's nothing going on. There's no reason to fear or worry about him, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's on the Dells one, there's at least one part where you go over like a little creek. And yeah. So you go over a bunch of like, rocky terrain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you're driving then.
Iffy, but, I mean, it seemed like it was not a problem.
Yeah. That's when you're driving, though, when the wheels are working, right?
Yeah.
You get in the water. But does it sit pretty low in the water, though, when it's in the water?
Didn't seem like it, actually.
It seemed fine, huh? Yeah. Man, you saw the video of that thing, and it's just like, holy cow, that thing doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah, the water looked nothing.
Nothing like that.
Like that.
Yeah, no kidding. But when you're on the Dells... that's a lake, right? Obviously, it's Lake Delton there. Is that exactly where you were, Lake Delton? Yeah. All right. Thanks for that. By the way, Kevin, it's not the exact middle of the season, the All-Star break, right? Didn't it used to be that was like equal number of games on either side?
Yeah, it's been a while since it's been like that, but it's normally a little bit past that the actual halfway point.
But in shorthand, you can refer to it as the second half.
The players and managers do, so I think we all can.
I don't think it's the second half, and that's inaccurate.
Yeah, I was doing it earlier this week. I'm like, people are going to...
No, just call it the second half.
No,
well, if the players are calling it the second half, why wouldn't we call it the second half?
Because maybe the second part.
The second part. That's what I'm going to do.
I mean, I say post All-Star break schedule, but that's a mouthful instead of just saying second half.
Well, you're a sports professional.
That's right. No big deal. I vote second half.
The puffy chest. It just comes with the department.
I say rubbernecking sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's huge.
Among the texts, hey, John, why don't they just rename Wells to Ida B. Wells? It's simple, no confusion.
I looked it up. It's because it's after a General William Wells.
Oh, so then
he fought in Fort something.
Something or another. So, in other words, the General Wells family would not like to see the name represent some other Wells person. I get it.
And I feel like other people have looked it up because it came up on Google like right away.
Hey, John, the president's streets downtown are actually named after counties in Illinois. Okay, well, they're also named after presidents, but so there's a Jefferson County, a Washington County, an Adams County, etc. Let's see, is there Jefferson County? Is there Jefferson? There's not Jefferson. John, the streets are ordered from north to south in Chicago as they make the border with Canada, the Lake Streets. The Lake Streets are ordered from north to south in Chicago as they make the border with Canada. So,
okay, so from Canada down.
Superior, Huron, Erie, Ontario. Thank you, Les. I didn't know that, and I don't know that I know that now. I'm not exactly sure what I just
and
said.
And explain Michigan then, because Michigan's north-south. But
that doesn't count, Steve.
Oh, okay.
Thomas Jefferson comes to town. I'm going to play for you a short clip from our show we did in 2016 just to give you a sense of how these things work. I want you to get tickets at WGNradio.com/events. TJ and I will be on stage Saturday, August 18th. We've added a show. The 10 a.m. show is about sold out. There'll also be a show at 1 o'clock. I'll come on stage with the third president. We'll talk a little bit, and then you get to ask questions, too. It can be about stuff back then or stuff now. Ain't nobody better than our Jefferson. This is from the 2016 show.
When I agreed to stand for the presidency, Madison was pushing me forward. He was my closest friend, and we both agreed that the Federalists needed to be retired. And when he finally persuaded me to do it, which I did not want to do, I have no more desire to govern men than to ride my horse through a blizzard. I regarded the presidency the way you regard jury duty. You'll do it because you should, but you don't enjoy it, and if you can weasel out of it, you do. That's how I saw it. And so when he said, you must do this, I said, I will agree to stand for this office on one condition, that I need make no public appearances.
So then what did you put on your hat? What would be your campaign slogan?
What would my slogan be? Jefferson and agriculture.
Jefferson and agriculture?
Yes.
What would your other hat say? That's
slightly better than Adams.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I mean, I didn't have slogans, of course. It was Jefferson and Liberty. There were songs, Jefferson and Liberty, and there were some banners and some parades and some effigies and so on. I had nothing to do with any of that.
And then just before the election, the FBI looked into your email.
But the mails were opened. I don't know if you know this, the post offices were notoriously corrupt. We didn't have any, it wasn't a felony to tamper with the mail. So I would write a letter. And we didn't really have envelopes, we would seal them, but I'd write a letter and send it. When it went to the post office, you could bet that it would be opened by the postmaster, and often read aloud to the people who happened to be there. And then people would take out extracts. They would copy out portions of it and publish them in newspapers or send them in garbled form to other people. So you could not count on a letter remaining private.
Can you imagine? Those are spontaneous, unrehearsed conversations. He doesn't know what we're going to ask. We don't know what we're going to ask. And we sure don't know what you're going to say when you get a chance to talk to Thomas Jefferson. Saturday, August 18th, College of DuPage. Tickets at WGNradio.com/events. I promise you're going to love this show. WGNradio.com/event. Before we go to the musical review and our rundown of fun things we think you might enjoy doing this weekend, we always do that on Fridays at this time. And then from there we go to the Bright Side segment. I just want to check in on the news click, because we've been talking a lot about that changing the name of Congress Parkway to Ida B. Wells. I think that's the news click. Elif, where are we on the news click today, please?
50% say yes. 50% say no.
I think this one's going to be a little more, it's going to be closer than the last one was. Yesterday, the news click was, do you like Donald Trump's idea of trading with the Russians on the Mueller investigation? And 99% of you didn't like the swap that the president thought was a very generous and interesting offer from the president of Russia. A lot of you said, nah, that's 99% said, no, don't make that deal. But so far, it's going 50-50 on changing the name of Congress Parkway to Ida B. Wells. So how do you vote on the news click? You go to WGNradio.com and scroll down, usually a little bit on the left. You'll see it there. Did we post it on my Facebook page, too? It's also on my Facebook page, or will be.
After the show.
After the show, we'll post it on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. who's covering Amy Winehouse there.
This is a band called Remember Jones.
Why are we listening to that?
Because thanks to ThirdCoastReview.com, which I contribute to, Amy Winehouse tribute show at 8 p.m. at Reggie's Rock Club. Tickets are $15 in advance. It's her 7th anniversary of her death, Monday the 23rd.
So they're doing a tribute with some, is it just this one band or other bands covering her as well?
I believe there's another band with Remember Jones, but this is the one that, this is the main one.
It sounds pretty good.
I know. This is where.
Okay, that's one thing to do. That's on Monday. Let's get closer to the weekend then. Violetta, what do you got for the weekend?
Well, if you want some more music, Country Thunder's going on in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. Luke Bryan's going to be there, Toby Keith, Dierks Bentley, Brett Young, Brothers Osborne. It should be a good time.
I got a bunch of musical ones for you today. Sheffield Music Fest and Garden Walk at Webster and Sheffield's from noon to 10.
Oh, I used to love that.
Have you been to that before?
I had a garden entered in it one year. I lived in the neighborhood. Was there? It was just...
Oh,
that
no
was
kidding.
A,
yeah,
that
it's
was
a
my
garden
summer.
Walk. Yeah. Yeah, right. So this is Sheffield Music Fest and Garden Walk, Webster and Sheffield in that area. Look for Bertrand's old place. That's noon to 10. $10 suggested donation.
Dayton and Belden, you won't be able to park there.
So it says, it doesn't have the date on this. I presume that's all weekend. That must be tomorrow and Sunday. Aleph, what have you got? Give us something else to do.
Of course, we also have Pitchfork going on at Union Park this weekend, 1 to 10 p.m. each night, or each day, and tickets start at about $75.
Violetta, go.
Well, Dan reminded me on my Facebook page, Ben Fest is going on all weekend long at St. Benedict's. That's at Irving and Levitt. It's a $5 admission, food, drink, music, a lot of fun things to do for the kids. And I graduated from there in eighth grade, so.
What's the name of the joint?
St. Benedict's.
Go the Bennies? What were they?
We were the Bengals.
The Bengals.
Gold and maroon.
I don't think they'd call them the Bennies.
Sorry. Live on the lake at Navy Piers, Miller Lite Garden. Tonight features musical acts including Dr. Bombay. That's actually from 2 p.m. to 11:30 tomorrow. That's live on the lake at Navy Piers, Miller Lite Garden. What have you got?
Okay, also thanks to ThirdCoastReview.com, we know about the Art Institute of Chicago Block Party at the Art Institute of Chicago. It's 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m., and tickets are $10 for Illinois residents through midnight tonight, and other days are a regular fee.
Special Olympics 50th anniversary Global Day of Inclusion is at Soldier Field right now. They do all sorts of activities for the family until 7 o'clock today. And then they've got that big concert tonight with Chance the Rapper and Usher. What an all-star lineup.
That's
going to
be crazy.
Jason Mraz.
It's sold out as I understand it. So good luck getting in. But what a fun show that's going to be.
And then they're kicking off today with the soccer match.
They've got an international soccer competition. There's a touring international soccer event that goes to cities around the world. It's international teams. Chicago is hosting two of the cities today, and that's out at Soldier Field. That's supposed to be pretty cool, too. You soccer buffs, we're all got soccer fever these days.
Yeah, little football.
Give me another one, something to do.
We have the world's oldest freshwater distance race going on, the 110th Chicago Yacht Club race to Mackinac Island. That already started today. That's the cruising, gentle. And then Saturday morning, they have a countdown actually on the website, just about 20 hours till they kick off the race on Saturday morning. And that's going to be a lot of fun. There's about 306 boats. I don't know if people go and watch it, them kick off, but
yeah,
it seems like a fun event.
So somebody knows where's the best place to watch this.
So they're taking off from East Navy Pier, and then they're landing at the lighthouse at Round Island.
Yeah, the best spot, place to watch it, John, if you want to see it, is on the Mackinac Bridge. Just as they're coming into...
Yeah. Anything closer, Steve, I guess?
Well, you have to drive for the view, but it's a great view.
Go be at Navy Pier, I guess, when they take off, or North Street Beach or something like that? Or do they just head... Yeah, they got to go north.
It's the Chicago Yacht Club, so I think it's off Navy, like south of Navy Pier.
Yeah. Give me one more. Elif, what do you like this weekend?
Night at the Zoo at Lincoln Park Zoo, Saturday, $30 on Eventbrite.com. Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
No. It's tonight at 6:30.
And the musical Waitress is at the Cadillac Palace for its last weekend. Tickets start at $27. BroadwayInChicago.com. Chris Jones' review of Color Purple was 4 stars in the paper today.
That's a lot of stars.
He really liked that. So what's making you smile today? The Bright Side segment where you call in, give us some good news in your world. Tell us why you're smiling. You can call or text right now. This is how we start the weekend in Chicago, 312-981-7200. You can call or text right now, 312-981-7200. Give us some good news. Give us your bright side.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
This is the bright side.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
Give me some good news.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle.
You're ready to whistle, Kevin.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Sing it home now. Always.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly.
You're pretty good, son. That's not bad. Okay, on Fridays, we do it at this time. You call in, tell me why you're smiling. Give us some good news. That's called The Bright Side. It's sponsored by our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. You can call or text 312-981-7200. Here we go.
Always look on the bright side of life.
All right, let's start with Judy. Hey, Judy, this is John. You're on WGN. Give me some good news. Hi, Judy. Are you there? We'll come back. I see Judy, but Judy doesn't hear me. How about Margaret? Hey, Margaret, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
I'm going to watch my daughter in her final performance. She's been in cheerleader camp all granddaughter in cheerleader camp all summer. It should be so much fun.
I couldn't tell if she was being sarcastic or not there.
I think she's going to like
she
it.
Was sincere.
A lot of screaming and kicking, but she'll like it.
Carl, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Carl? You're on the air.
Hey, John. I'm going to College of DuPage tonight, speaking of College of DuPage, to see new Philharmonic Orchestra. And if I may, I'd like to give a shout-out to that Diana Martinez. I think she does really a bang-up job.
Nice of you to call.
Yes, sir.
When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle.
I have a really cute tag.
All right, let's hear it.
A15 says, I'm 6 years old and I just got my motorcycle license, something I wanted since I was a teen. Now I'm a grandpa on the go.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Hey, Viv, this is John. What's your bright side? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I just got a brand new hairstyle, and I feel so pretty.
Face the curtain with a bang.
Yeah, go, girl.
This is Chris. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Chris? You're on the air.
We just got back from a 12-day vacation to Oslo and Bergen, Norway, with my mother-in-law, my wife, and my 3 kids, and everybody had a good time.
Hey, Laura, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Laura? You're on the air.
Hey, John, how are you? I just passed the state broker's licensing exam yesterday, and so then I can become a licensed broker. It was a hard test, but I did it.
I haven't taken a test in years. Were you nervous? Were you sweating?
You know, while I was going through the test, I'm thinking, oh my God, I should just walk out now because I'm going to fail. The questions were out of left field. There were a lot of them were nothing like I expected. And so when I finished, I walked out sheepishly and the administrator gave me the results and I started doing a happy dance.
All right, Violetta, you're up. Go.
847 says, my parrot's whistling along to the song. It's making me laugh. 630 says, we just closed on our forever home on Monday, the home we're going to raise our kids in.
Hey, Brenda, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Brenda? You're on the air.
My daughter and I, for the 5th year, are going to ride Ragbri across Iowa. We're starting on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal. How many folks are going to be in that?
10,000 registered, but they say there can be 20,000 riders each day on the route.
I wish you good weather. Have a great time.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. And that's the
longest one. All right, Violetta, your turn.
847, she's babysitting her daughter's Doxy. She's on vacation in Arizona. He's excited about that. We have another one. My bright side is that I am picking up my 10-year-old son today. He's been away for camp for 2 weeks.
I think there's a lot of people that are thrilled to drop their kids off, and then they're also thrilled to pick them up after a couple of weeks.
Of course.
Hey, Ed, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Ed? Hey, Ed. We are now listening to the inside of Ed's car. Hey, Ed, are you there? Ed says, I wanted to get to Ed because it's kind of funny. He says on the screen, I love my wife and I love my dog.
I'm glad he said wife first.
And not necessarily, and in that order. Yes, necessarily yes. In that order. All right, go.
630 says 1 year breast cancer free. And a correction on the grandpa on the go. It's actually a grandma on the go with a motorcycle.
Nice. You go, girl.
Yeah.
On line number three. Mike, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Mike? You're on the air.
My bright side is I'm taking my daughter to Prague for a week for her graduation.
Wow.
Oh, wow. What a good dad you are.
Which graduation?
And the second part of that is this is my favorite segment of WGN.
Thank you for that. We like it too. Always look on the bright side of life. Hey, Jody, this is John. You're on the air. What's your bright side?
Hi, John.
Hi.
My legal wife is the best woman I've ever met.
Happy days to you all. So this is just a shout out to her. What's her name?
Rachel.
Thanks for calling. You must always face the curtain with a bag. All right, V, your turn.
773, I'm going to a gluten-free, dairy-free personal chef dinner tonight. I mean,
I'm happy for you.
Yeah. What's the number one rule? We don't make fun of someone's bright side.
We do not judge other people's happiness. Steve, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
Hi, King Jen. I spent an hour and a half with my twin 2.5-year-old grandsons at the library this morning.
Nice. Have a great weekend and a day. If life seems jolly rotten. All right, you got another one for us?
773, celebrating her son's 7th birthday.
On line 9, Jim, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jim? You're on the air.
Hi, John. After 42 years, I have one more week of work, and I am retiring.
Oh, man. Are you just, like, itching, or are you going to be a little sad? What do you think?
I'm itching.
You're ready to
I'm
go?
I'm itching. Then I'm ready to go.
I'm going to be here next Friday. You call me in next Friday, too, okay?
Okay. Thanks, John. For life is quite
absurd. He's drunk already.
I mean,
he's
why
like
not?
Ready to go.
Why not?
44 years. Got another one?
That's a long time. 630 says, I'm happy, I'm healthy, and my family members are too.
This is Connie. You're on WGN. Connie, why are you smiling?
Hi, John. I'm smiling because our daughter and her husband moved to London, and they finally got settled into their first apartment, and her husband went there ahead of time, left her flowers, a card, milk, and Oreos. I just love him. Always look on the
light side of life. All right, V, you're up.
773 says USA Today wrote an article on my godson, Owen, for the Special Olympics.
On Judy on line 2. Hey, Judy, are you there? You're on the air.
Yes, I'm here.
You're on. Stop, you silly chumps. So now you tell us what your bright side is.
Yes, I just came from my daughter's eye doctor, and we thought she had a detached retina. Instead, she had a small tear, and the doctor fixed it with a laser. So we're very thankful.
Wow. That's the glasses half full. Ivy, you're up.
Gotta look at it that way. This is the bright side. Right now, we had surgery last Friday. All biopsies are negative.
Brad, on line 4, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Brad? What's your bright side?
My bright side is my son and a cast of tremendous characters are performing Fools tonight at the Sandwich Opera House. We've been working for 2 months, and I'm excited to see the first performance.
Have you been to the Sandwich Opera House before?
I have not. But it sounds delightful.
It's in Sandwich, Illinois, which is a suburb of Plano. Plano, Sandwich. Sandwich is a delightful town.
Is it close to normal?
Let's not be making fun of Sandwich. what's the name of the show tonight?
It's Fools by Neil Simon, and I'm the director.
Let's sell some tickets, Brad. If someone wants to go, how do they do it?
IndianValleyTheater.com.
Thank you, sir. I got a warm spot in my heart for Sandwich. I lived there for a year.
Oh, well.
And it's a nice little town. They have McCaslin's Bakery, and the Sue Ann Shop is nearby in Plano, Illinois.
I'm getting hungry just talking about it.
I can do commercials like that for all of the old sponsors at WSPY Plano. Okay, it's your turn. Go.
269 says, I have an antique boat motor. I got purring like a kitty.
Maybe one more or two. Let's see. It says Mary and John. Is that you guys on line five? You're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Hey. We are on our way camping, and it's not raining.
Yeah. Whereabouts are you?
We're going to Galena, Illinois, to a KOA.
Oh, a KOA campground. So out in Galena, northwest yeah. part of the state.
Good old Galena. Yeah.
Safe travels. I wish you a dry weekend. Have a good time.
Thank you.
On the opposite end of that, 815 says, we farm and we got some rain. Woohoo.
Yeah, no kidding. I think some of us are happy to have a little bit of it out here. Okay, Karen, you're the last one today. Boy, the lines are busy. The texters, too. Hey, Karen, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
Hi. I just got back from Marseille, France for 3 weeks.
Did you miss us?
And it's all paid for.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm glad. We do this on Fridays. We say, call in, tell us some good news while you're smiling, and we smile with you. That's the bright side. Any last ones from you?
Well, someone's drinking a watermelon slushie. And that's all they got to say.
How did you miss the one from the guy who texts in saying he just got his prescription for Viagra? I thought that topped the list.
Oh, no kidding.
You better give it to his wife. She's counting the pills.
I think he is going to give it to
her. I was just going to say, really? That's the way you put that?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to all of them. I wish them nothing but success and happiness in that department.
I have a bright side really quick.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do our own bright sides.
I not ask? Okay, oh, I didn't. All right, Violetta, 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, I'm cleaning my closet today. I'm kind of a hoarder, so I'm excited to get that off my chest.
Elif, go.
I'm going to the beach for the first time tomorrow. Oh, wait, it's raining.
Well, you can still go to the beach.
I have an audience clapping for me.
Yeah, I'm amazed. Let's see, Kevin, you're golfing where this weekend?
I have no plans to golf yet. I'm actually thinking outside the box this time, John. I'm taking my mom, well, the whole family is downtown for her birthday. Little Cindy's rooftop action, yeah.
Oh, no.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. No kidding. I have not been to Cindy's rooftop.
Yeah, she's been wanting to go, so I made a little
reservation. Happy birthday, Mama Powell.
Still a few days away, but, you know, it's the weekend before, so.
A friend of mine was there last night, in fact, and I said, I've got to get there. So, have you been up there before?
I haven't, but I've seen at least 3,000 Instagram photos of people on top of it.
You have to take one and set it out.
We will. I've got to get there.
We're looking for it.
That sounds like a good spot to go.
Yeah.
You know, there was a story on the CBS Morning News today about how restaurants and hotels are marketing themselves via Instagram these days.
Oh, yeah. When I see something on there, I got to go.
That's what happens. 70% of Instagram photos or stories are now about travel. And so if you are a hotel, if you're a destination, if you're a restaurant, you need to find a way to market yourself via Instagram. And in fact, some restaurants, they said, and I guess hotels, destinations, will now have, like, stand here for the perfect selfie.
Right.
Yeah.
And make it a destination for you, like a backdrop.
Everything's selfie ready.
Exactly. It's like that happy place that popped up. I am convinced that is specifically designed to get millennials there to take. It's like it's their own backdrop and photo shoot.
No, yeah, that is exactly what it is.
Right.
Where is this? I don't know what this is.
The Happy Place. It's a pop-up. 13 different rooms, most Instagrammable rooms, all different types of styles and vibes, and you get really good pictures there.
Yeah.
All right. Can check them out on my own Instagram because I went.
I got to read this, then we'll see what's coming up with Ro and Anna. You've seen this person before. They look good. They look happy. They're able. Seem like they're doing just fine. And then they get up and they make that groaning, moaning noise. Maybe that's you and it's your knee. I want you to do what I did. I want you to get that knee pain addressed right now. Go to the Joint Relief Institute. At the Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park, they use advanced digital technology. They see where your knee is compromised. They put a joint lubricant into that spot, and it works. It's not surgery. It's not painful. It's quick, and it's covered by most insurance plans. So call 708-888-0000. 708, that's Orland Park. 888-THINK-888-0000.
Zero pain.
As in zero pain. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis. I haven't looked. Is Rokan in the studio? Is he participating in the show today?
He had a very important procedure.
I see him. I see him. Now he's got the cans on.
Yep.
Hey there.
I'm good.
Row strong.
Yep, I'm here. I, you know, 24 mm-hmm. hours later, I'm
here. Do you feel
here.
Lighter?
I do, actually. I feel...
Everything come out okay?
Well, for hours, yeah. I had a colonoscopy, and it was fun because I don't remember a thing.
Yeah.
All I remember is, you know, it's funny, this morning when I woke up, because it was in the afternoon, exactly 24 hours ago right now, mm-hmm. and I woke up, and I know I called Jeff, our producer, because I see it on my phone.
He told me
I
to
have
call.
No recollection of the conversation.
I was wondering about that because you had promised me there's no way, no how, no way in hell you were going to call into the show
mm-hmm.
or call us
and
tomorrow.
And then I tried. Yeah.
And then you tried.
Yeah.
It's too bad you didn't get
That's
on the
like
air.
Me at 3 in the morning when I call you.
Yeah.
I know because I see it on my phone.
Yeah.
And because Ro.
You have no recollection of it, do you?
You think that's very common, Ro? I sense you're being half serious there.
What?
Do people do that, like, out of dental surgery or surgery
oh, sure,
or colonoscopy,
yeah.
and they
well,
go, I said or did what?
Well, it's become a whole viral video craze, right?
Mm-hmm.
To you know, to your kids waking up or your spouse or your friend or whatever, waking up from whatever the anesthesia is, has become a whole thing.
Remember David after Dentist, which is the first one that I can think of like this, but I didn't know that was a thing. Remember David? It wasn't a David after Dentist. The dad's in the front seat, little kid's in the
yes,
back.
Yes, I've seen that one.
And the kid is like delirious, and he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And people got mad at the dad because they said, what are you doing with your kid? And he goes, hey, you know, he's out after surgery. He's talking goofy.
It's unfair. It really is an unfair thing.
But boy, wouldn't it have been fun to have video on you yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, but they say everything is fine. They
good,
you know,
I'm glad.
Grabbed a few things while they were in there,
yeah.
took them with them, but to be expected. But I did the upper and the lower, so I was out for like an hour.
Oh, gee.
And then I guess they give you a little extra juice to get you through that, and woo-wee. I do now. I was also told that I FaceTimed somebody when I was eating Rice Chex.
Rice Chex?
Yeah. Right after the
home?
Event.
Oh, there.
No, they give you
oh,
rice checks and like some juice or something to try to get you to, you know.
Are you were not aware of that either?
No.
Wow.
No, I heard about that today.
You didn't drive home, did you, by
no,
any
chance? No.
Somebody get you a ride?
No, yes.
An important person pick him up who couldn't ask him any questions. And
right, somebody who works for me. So that's a way to keep the questions to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she asked me every question in the world, and I answered them, and now
you
I'm
just
gonna,
don't know.
And now I have to double her salary. One of two things has just happened.
Maybe
I'm
she pulled
sure.
a Michael Cohen on you and taped you without you knowing, and later will use it against you.
Speaking of that, I'm glad you should mention that. We're going to have, coming up, we're going to have Alan Dershowitz and Mark McKinnon. This is like, this is a big booking Friday here.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Dershowitz is going to join us coming up after 3:40, and then Mark McKinnon about 3:46, 3:47. And then Stephen Moore is going to start the show off with us, who is a former economic advisor to the Trump campaign, and you see him on TV, defending a lot of what's going on here in Washington. And we'll talk to him about that. He'll be in studio with us coming up.
Lots to listen to. Go get to all of that.
Thank you very much.